Fred.
I started it.
Okay. Can you mute everybody, please? I give you my peace, and let's open in prayer. Father, we come before you and we say thank you for setting this time aside for us. It feels like it's been forever since we've had this time to sit with you in this type of circle with our friends and fellow guardians and their families. And Father, there is an urgency that's in our hearts to complete this work. But we know, Father, during this time, you will teach us still and help us to become who we need to be, that we can be the people that need to help complete this task. See the hearts of those who have gathered with us and provide peace in their hearts. Provide, Father, anything that anyone's struggling with, that you will give them the strength to bear it, or that, Father, you could remove it from them at this time, that we can all focus on the meeting, because these meetings are very important. We appreciate all that you do for us. We appreciate that eternity has actually joined us. All the chief apostles are here in our living room. We are also surrounded by eternity. That is not a coincidence, because preparatory is next week, and then the service for the departed in 2 weeks. We appreciate that we can be a part of this, that you will continue to teach us and open things for us to learn and to experience. And now, Father, we lay everything in your hands, and we are thankful that you too are here with us and have joined us. We always do according to your will, but we ask in your name, please hear us. We love you. Amen. Okay. I met with Father yesterday, and this is what he had to say. Hello, my dear family. My sons and I have missed spending time with you in this capacity. There will only be one more meeting this year, next month, and then we will quickly enter the holiday season and then begin the new year. How quickly time goes by when one is tested, and then one overcomes many obstacles. So much is churning in this world, so much chaos, pain, and suffering, rumors of war and climate change. Climate change. I had to stick that one in there because that happens every day, and man seems to think that that is a bad thing, and somehow they have power over it to control it or change it. They do not. In fact, the one thing that they have complete power over to change and control, they refuse to pay attention to, their own free will. Why do I bring this up? Because it is easy to get lost in the world's noise and confusion, but all of you are above that. You are not of this world. None of you are. Do not listen to the world and its fears. You have been educated and know more than the world. You are stronger than the world. This is why I made you. You were created to help mankind. I have told you in the past that you are the lighthouses, the beacons of light that will draw many out of the darkness and bring them closer to me. We enter a dark time, Halloween. We do not participate in this day, period. The preparatory service for the departed is next week. Prepare yourselves and your hearts. Open your capacity to love and carry them. Trilin will expound a little on this tonight, and then next month, what a celebration of light. That day is the biggest guest service in time, the service for the departed. It is still lost on many of the members. They do not understand their part in this service. And despite the Holy Spirit's constant prompting of the leaders' hearts to teach more about this, it falls on deaf ears. You, beloved, need to teach within your small circles this subject. It is not a sad time. It is not a depressing time. Tell me, when one is released from all that holds them back and is suffocating them, is that not a time for celebration? Rejoice, you are set free. Your Redeemer and friend Jesus Christ died for you that you may live and I may bring you home to share my kingdom. Such a wonderful day that is lost on many that bear flesh. This is part of your commission. Teach, please. Continue to fight your own shortcomings too. Many of you have been doing as my son Triland has asked of you. Pick one or two shortcomings and focus on them. Some of you have made headway and are changing. Congratulations. Also, continue to be you. Be the beings I have given you many gifts to share with them and the world. I have given all of you many opportunities to do this, and some of you still do nothing. Why? Are you embarrassed about who you are? Those who confess me, I will confess to the world. Come and spend time with us. We are still waiting for many of you. Again, I will say, who receives such an invitation like this? No one but you. Please take me up on my offer, because I have much I would like to personally share with you about you, but you must make the effort. I am always with you and will always love you. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
I think it's cool that Father has something to share about with us about us. That's interesting. Don't know that he's ever said that before.
That's right. Anyone else? Okay, we will omit the religions portion this month, which will resume in November. We will move on to the Bible passage part of the meeting, and we have asked Nuke, he will present.
All right, so sorry, I'm going to pull this up. I'm actually going to read from the New Living Translation, which I think is different from what Fred has posted there, so I'm sorry about that.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I didn't specify.
That's me. I should have asked you which version you wanted. I'll do that in the future, guys. Sorry.
No worries.
So this is still Acts 2, 42 through 47, and the, I guess, headline, if you want to call it that, of the section is the believers form a community. And it continues to say, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And we heard this in service, I think about a month ago in Wyoming, and it stuck with me ever since. What it says at the end, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So our Heavenly Father is continuously adding souls to our community, to the church, to his family. I mean, how awesome is that? And especially with Service for the Departed coming up in just a couple weeks, all of the realms, countless realms with countless souls, are all going to join together for one cause. And I just think that's so humbling and so breathtaking.
That it is. Anybody like to add anything or comment?
I like this because it's the beginning of the work. I mean, I've been trying to read the Bible more, and it's fun, you know, all these years it took, you know, for me to actually get interested reading. And I like how in this book it's everybody. It's the Acts of the Apostles, right? And when you read the different authors after this, it's a repetitive message in a good way. But this lays down the basics of what we need to do now. And I love the New Testament. It's very hard for me to read the Old Testament because I've not been able to find one other than all the beginning ones, and that's not fun to read for an upliftment. But I love Acts because it gives us a parallel from what these new brothers were learning and the new Christians were learning to what we have to learn. So that's just, I love this. I love this this chapter or this this book.
Hey, Nuke.
Yeah.
Could you read your version of verse 43 again? I want to see how they replaced the word fear in the New Living Translation.
Yeah. So you said 43?
Yeah.
It says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders.
That works.
Yeah, I guess we're thinking of fear as respect, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we'll move on to a deeper understanding. I wanted to discuss this evening about the keys to hell and death. All of you have now been given a full set as of today. You had a kind of a partial set. Everybody was given the keys to hell, which gives you access to go to hell, you know, because we don't feel you've been indoctrinated into the team until you've actually spent some time there. So that's why you had those. But there's also other reasons why you went there, to understand how Satan has his little part of his kingdom set up, to understand that you have nothing to fear from him. Then there's the keys to death. They actually have two purposes. One of the purposes gives you access to eternity to help the souls that you have helped in the past, but that you're also going to help in the future. And this is where Father had made a point that I want to expound on this. I would like that over the next 2 weeks, every single one of the guardians, you pick a realm and you go into it and you spend time with them. And in some cases, you don't even have to say anything, that your presence there will just enlighten them. And because I'm sending you, Father sent me. So don't forget the power and authority that you stand in. I'm asking everybody if you could help out, please. The other part of the key to death is that in time, you may bring someone back to life. Just as Jesus did in his time, Father may ask us to do that in our time to prove the power and authority that we stand in. Now, I don't want anybody running to cemeteries and putting their hands on gravestones and freaking people out, okay? But I wanted you to understand that you have a complete set. Does anybody have any questions?
This is just more funny than it is anything. Can we get the keys to something a little bit less grim? Hell and death. I understand we have a job to do, but is there like a vacation spot we can go to for a day or so?
You can pick any Spartan eternity. You can go to the realm of paradise here. It's beautiful. I've been there a couple times. It's fantastic.
All right. Well, that sounds good.
You can access that. There's actually a lot of nice places in eternity. They're not all horrible. Maybe ask your lead angel to walk you around a little and show you some of the nicer realms.
Okay.
You know, and I guess what I'm trying to point, that's a great question, and I'll kind of expand a little on that. The keys to hell and death shouldn't be something that's depressing, because none of us are going to end up there. And we want to help as many souls as we can that they don't end up there in the end. So there is a light, there is a brightness surrounding this gift. I know it's a little overwhelming, and it's going to take time for that to sink in. So if anybody has any questions or concerns they want to take offline, send me an email or text. We can talk, okay? Anybody else?
So in the past, we weren't told we shouldn't go to certain areas, but it was discouraged because of the diminishing nature of those realms.
Yes.
With this now new authority, has that been lifted to where we can go into these darker, more depressing realms, or is that still just left for Dad and the other Noops, Daleks, and workers over there?
You would have to go there, and then your lead angel will take you to the realm that's on your heart. I would pray before you say, Father, I want to go into eternity. Okay. Then your lead angel can take you where you need to go. And then probably one of our brothers and sisters or one of the chief apostles will meet you outside that realm to see if you actually have the ability to go in, or like Dad did with me, he brought the souls, a handful of souls out that I could talk with them. But okay. That's another good question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Anybody else? Okay, and then under our worthless but interesting tidbit, someone sent me a little bit of an article. I'll just read it to you. An extinct bird species has evolved back into existence. Studies say the Aldabra railbird first went extinct around 136,000 years ago. Now it's reclaimed its home island. I put in here Father enjoys messing with man's understanding because he said that's why he does this. He said, according to the study published in the Zoological Journal of the Linnean Society, a peer-reviewed scientific journal, sediments from the Aldabra Atoll in the Indian Ocean show that this island has been completely submerged multiple times, wiping out all the species inhabiting it. Every time, every species on the island went extinct. But this bird has returned again and again. So I thought I would just share that with you, Father. He likes to do things, and he has the right to do that. So I thought that was fun. Last month, we went over a little part of the Chief Apostle's thoughts about Holy Communion. Q sent me the seminar that he actually held, and I asked Q if he could pull out little excerpts from the Chief Apostle's presentation and present a part of it every month. So Q is going to do that right now. Q, please.
Well, he's going to try. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, so Fred, how can I minimize the screen? Because I'm on my computer now, and I want to be able to read it from my computer, but I can't get to it.
Hit escape.
Okay, there we are. That will work. Okay. So there are 100 of these from the Chief Apostle, and I have printed the whole form, but it's 35 pages long or 38 pages long or something like that. And I prayed about it and read through, and I am going to read number 34 this evening. Chief Apostle, Thoughts on Holy Communion, Two Evils. Now we will turn our attention, and this is the way that this is written, it's taken from a service, so it's just the way the Chief Apostle said it. Now we will turn our attention to Holy Communion. We know that we have not remained without sin, and we again seek the forgiveness of sins to draw blessing upon ourselves in Holy Communion. Regarding sin, God once said of the people of Israel, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." And this comes out of Jeremiah 2:13. This is a twofold sin. I ask myself sometimes whether we too might run the risk of committing a twofold sin. If we depend upon our own strength and say, "Here, I must first of all look for solutions myself," that is already a sin. But if we then go on to turn to other sources and draw from other fountains, then we commit a twofold sin. Those who remain steadfast in following and who do not deviate will not run the risk of committing this twofold sin and following other influences. Our turning to places where no living water flows, where the Lord cannot bless, and where we will not reach the goal. Stagnant water will not help. This will not quench the thirst of the soul. The living water is here with the Lord. Here is forgiveness of all our debt. Let us also experience this today. And that's the end.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Q? Point you want to make?
First of all, before you ask, does it make sense? Isn't it amazing that we kind of do that? We depend on ourselves so many times first, and that's a sin.
I agree.
What was the Bible verse again? Jeremiah 2?
Jeremiah 2:13. Chapter 2, verse 13.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Kathy had two experiences. I asked if she would share them with the team. Kathy, please.
Hi, everyone. May 1st of this year, my cousin died. She was only 50, and her death was under suspicion of murder. But my brother had told me about it, and then it was only maybe as soon as I started hearing about her passing away, I started praying as Supplanter had instructed us. He said first, no, it was Supplanter because it was a long time ago. First, he said that pray for them, that God will take care of them, that our Father will take care of them. And then I pray that he will invite them to the altar. And then I pray that he will invite them to eat from his table. And then I pray that he will help with any chains or any bindings that they have in eternity so that they can be freed. And it wasn't but a couple of weeks after that I started praying for my cousin. And I was standing at my kitchen window. And beside me, about 8 feet, is our door that goes to our garage. And it opened up about 6 inches. And I thought, okay, maybe a wind blew it open. Sometimes it has happened like that. But I looked in the garage, the door is closed. Everything's just like, okay. So I thought, all right, it's fine. Nothing's happening. And then I hear my cousin say, thank you for praying for me. And then the door closed on its own. I had goosebumps from top to bottom, which just kind of like shook me till I was frozen. Then August 3rd of this year, my uncle of 69 passed away. He was a faithful priest, choir director, everything else. And then Friday, September 13th at 7:17 a.m., our smoke detector alarm went off. And it's not operable. There are no batteries. It's not connected. And my uncle would probably know that I do not wake up unless it's a bomb going off because I'm that heavy of a sleeper. So after only getting 3 hours of sleep, I was pretty grumpy. I got up and I heard the alarm go off. And I thought, okay, fine. It went off by itself. I just then went in the bathroom, came out, and it went off again. And this time I stood right underneath the two smoke alarm detectors because I thought, what is going on? One is here that's working, one is here that's not working, and it's coming out of the one that's not working. So I'm kind of like, okay, fine. And it's happened when Fred was not around. I'm around by myself because he's downstairs in the basement. I'm upstairs. I only got to sleep at 4 a.m. So then Fred thought, it's my Uncle Morris. And I said, well, I don't know about that. So he said, all right, I'm going to talk to Trilan. And Trilan said, yes, it's your uncle, and he wants you to pray for him. So then I said, okay, fine. And I started praying, and then it was about 3 days later, and I'm standing under that smoke detector again, and I'm starting to talk out loud because I'm getting really ticked off because I've got this lack of sleep. I've got all this deprivation going on. And I'm saying, really, Uncle Morris, you would wake me up after only 3 hours of sleep, and then you would make this commotion. I said, couldn't you have just said thank you like my cousin Vina said in May? And he snickered at me. And I got this, okay, fine. You know, you think it's funny? All right. I'm still praying for you, but I don't think it's very funny. And then this week, Fred was downstairs. He was sleeping. I was on my way home from work. And at 11:50 at night, Fred gets three knocks on his door. And it's like, it just shook him wide awake. This Friday, I get this smell of a tobacco, like sweet cherry tobacco coming from a pipe. And then today I get a smell of a house burning. And while we were driving this afternoon. So I said to Fred, I says, well, we still have to listen. A supplanter taught us in Trilent that we still, if we don't have a name, we still need to pray, Father, please take care of this person. Whoever is trying to get our attention, we don't need a name, but this is what they did, and please take care of them. Please invite them to your altar of grace. Please invite them to eat from your table. And then please help them with anything that they've got going on. And so that's been our last few months.
Thank you. You are correct. We don't need to know who they are. Sometimes they don't reveal themselves to us, but they sweep across our hearts. So it's important that we just pray for them and their condition if we have an idea. Thank you for sharing. Atmos had an experience in St. Louis, so I asked if he would share that with the team. Atmos.
Yep, give me just 1 second here. Okay, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, if this comes up for you. Can everybody see that? Or Fred, do I have to present from the meeting?
Nothing's coming up.
Okay. Hang on.
Now try it.
Okay, hang on. Here we go. Thank you. Okay, so back in early September, we were blessed enough to have Diane and my mom stay with the boys, all three of them. And Danielle and I took a trip down to St. Louis. One of our stops was this, the St. Louis Basilica. It's a Catholic church, of course, and it's actually quite a large church, very ornate, very amazing. Just a very, very, very cool church, something you would consider seeing in, you know, Europe, not necessarily in the U.S., especially St. Louis. So we went in, this was Saturday that we went in, and we started kind of walking around and just taking in the sights. So this is the main part of the church, the sanctuary. You can see the altar up front there with, of course, the figure of Jesus on the cross. This place is massive. Just incredible, like I said, incredibly ornate. We did a big walk around, and just kind of took it all in. Very, very interesting. This is called the All Souls Chapel, and the picture on the left, you'll see there's a white marble top. Okay, I'm standing in the auditorium, and I took this picture, and on both sides of the auditorium, they have these like white marble risers that some have heat and air conditioning come out of them, and some have nothing, and that's how they kind of block the auditorium off from these little side chapels. Danielle was ahead of me, and the picture on the right, she was about halfway in, and when I came around the corner, well, first of all, actually, in the picture on the left, I was standing there, and I looked in on the floor. And the first thing that came to mind was somebody is buried in there. And as I came around the corner, the first thing that struck me were these iron gates on the left. And then maybe the picture isn't quite the greatest for those gates, but it almost has like link chains inside of the gate. And I stopped immediately dead in my tracks when I saw that. And I had this overwhelming feeling coming over me of something's not right in here. And I didn't know what it was at first. And then I looked at Danielle and I was like, I motioned her to come out. I was like, we shouldn't be in here. And then I got the image of this giant black figure standing in the middle of this room, and he is shackled arm and leg to the floor. And he looks like, if you know what the character Venom from Spider-Man looks like, that's almost exactly what he looked like. All black, frothing at the mouth, and just trying to get loose from these chains, trying to rip himself from the floor. And I immediately pogged him and this space. And when I did so, this thing just melted, and this frail body just collapsed to the floor with these chains still on him, with his head hung. I sent teams. I didn't really know what to do from there. I sent teams to help him, and I prayed for him, and I told him, you know, kind of who Jesus was, and that there were some people that were going to be coming to help him. And he said he knew, and I was like, oh, okay. We went the next day to church at the St. Louis church. And this soul had finally broken loose of the chains that he was shackled to inside of this chapel. And he came to church, and I invited him in, and I asked him what his name was. And all I could get was A. I wasn't really sure what it was, but he couldn't say anything other than just A. After getting back home and doing a little bit of research, I found out that this chapel was called the All Souls Chapel. And there was an archbishop by the name of May. His last name was May. So I believe the thing that was there was the Archbishop May. And I believe the reason he was shackled there is because Satan had shackled him there and was trying to turn a soul into a demon. And when I pogged, it released him of any power Satan had over him. And he is now trying to come to terms with everything that Satan and the church, the Catholic Church, had done to him previously. There are other souls that were buried in the floor of this chapel. We've been praying for them as well. But this Archbishop May was the one that seemed to really have the biggest problem. It was a different experience. It's something I've never experienced before at that level. So I believe we will be seeing more of this type of thing as Team Triland. So thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? You can unmute everybody, Fred.
When you were there, what was the feeling? Just that you had said it, just an overall, like just a shudder. I mean, what we get, like that, well, we used to call it spidey sense, but.
Yeah, it was a little bit. When we first walked in, you just kind of get this feeling of almost awe, like you're a little overwhelmed.
Okay.
But the farther I started walking into the auditorium, the heavier my chest started to get. Okay. And then when I came around the corner, yeah, it was full on, whoa, something's not right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, Starlight had an experience. I asked if she would share that with you.
Starlight, you need to unmute yourself. I'm trying, it's not letting me.
She's working on it.
Okay. Earlier in the month, I was trying to figure out what exactly to do. It kind of goes hand in hand with what Q had said about sin. And I was put into a position where I knew what other people were doing was a sin, and not by choice, but because of the particular situation I was involved in it. And I know that we've talked about in the past about being participants with sin and not, you know, in in asking for forgiveness from it. But I was posed with the choice of, or I was trying to decide, you know, in this particular situation, do I, what do I do, essentially? Do I continue to involuntarily participate in the situation, or, you know, excuse me, logically, do you, in essence, do you turn these people in for what they're doing? Like, I was kind of at a crossroads. So rather than leaving, you know, leaving it to myself, I prayed about it and I meditated on it and I asked, you know, Father for some guidance on what to do, because it's a very, it was a very sticky situation. And, you know, logically, of course you should, you know, take the right path, but at the same time, it was definitely a lot of layers and it was definitely a complicated situation. But ultimately, over a few day period, I just sort of just let it be, you know, prayed about it, let it be. And Father actually answered me. And it was for me to let the situation be, because it's not my place to necessarily meddle or let's say judge the situation. And that it was quite interesting, through several days of different Bible texts and through meditation and all that essentially he said for me to leave it alone, and that he would take care of it. So I still, you know, was going to do the sin offering and whatnot, but it wasn't my place to take care of the situation. That is it. Anybody have any questions?
Good for you, first of all. And, you know, it's interesting when you think about something like that. I've often said I could never be a police officer. I couldn't do that job. I couldn't get into people's business and accuse them of something. And, you know, it's very eye-opening what happened with you. And it's worth us really taking to heart, because it's not our place to judge. And that's really what that is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was what the hard part was, is that, you know, I was involuntarily knowing what was happening, you know, happening was a sin and definitely lying and things, but I was more of from an outsider perspective, but I was also trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do.
It was more like she was standing on the sidelines watching a game being played. She wasn't participating, but she saw it all happening.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting as well. There's a part in the Bible that in Matthew, and it kind of came out in the Peacemakers seminar, that when we see someone doing something wrong, when we see a brother, and so it's basically saying a relationship, someone that you love is doing something wrong, then you should help them by pointing it out.
Right. But
that's a different situation than getting in a stranger's business. And I've talked with people before who said, nope, we're supposed to do that with everybody, because you got to tell them, you got to set them right. And this is a perfect illustration right here that's really not our job. We can be an example and maybe help, but not to reprimand.
Correct. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'll share something quickly. I worked at a restaurant, and I was approached by several people to participate in selling drugs. You know, not just the harmless ones, but the good, you know, FBI kind, where they come breathing down your neck and, you know, you're in jail for something. And I declined, of course. And then I was approached several times. I said, look, I'm not going to do that. And then I was afraid that because I wasn't participating, then there'd be some sort of a backlash. So I brought it to the attention of one of our brothers in church, who was actually a police officer in the town. And I said, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to report this to the owner? And his reply was, no, we already know about it. Thank you for coming to me, but just back off and quit if you can, because it's going to, there's a whole bunch of hurt coming to that restaurant, which freaked me out. And this gentleman, I've never seen him react so quickly and so succinct, because even to this day, he's very laid back. So I quit. My wife at the time was working there too. We both quit abruptly, no notice. The restaurants failed. I mean, they failed. It failed miserably. Like, there were four locations that had been around for 30 years, and all of a sudden they were gone, wiped off the map. This was not a spiritual matter, but it's interesting where there's a great parallel. While you asked what to do, and we're told not to do anything. And there are some of our Christian fellow brothers and sisters in our faith and other faiths that are like, we need to correct them, because Jesus said, you know, sinners this and sinners that. And I've always had the argument, like, no, he's never said that. He said it because he was Jesus. But we were never instructed to go pound on people and point out their faults and failings. You know, like Danny said, we can offer assistance and correction, but, you know, that's not our job. We're not the police, you know, real or spiritual. So.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. It's long believed in our church that the number that Father longs for to be the bride is numeric. It's not. And I spoke with Father about this, and he said it's actually based on the soul's willingness to serve. It's based on their heart and their capacity to carry the work in the future. So it's not just, you know, we often thought, because Scripture said 144,000, that's the number, we found out that's symbolic. And now, why am I bringing this to your attention? Because sometimes we all get locked in on a number, and I know our church currently seems to think that, you know, Jesus is going to come any second now because we're getting members added to the church and blah, blah, blah. When he says the soul's willingness to serve, that's something that has to be taught. It's also their heart, meaning, is their heart open? Can they love a complete stranger? And also the capacity to carry the work. That has to be taught to the members, as far as what is it that the bride's job is. And all of this falls under our responsibility, as well as the apostles and the brothers in the church, to teach the existing members and all the new members that come in. So why I'm bringing this to your attention is that even if a number is actually met that Father wants, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to send Jesus until the bride completely understands what her job is. Does that make sense to everybody? It was kind of an eye-opener for me. Any comments?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite grasp what you're saying. Could you run that by me one more time, and maybe a little
sure
simpler
form? Thank you. Sure can. We can say that Father's going to send Jesus when there's 100 million souls. If that 100 million souls numerically is met, it doesn't mean that Father's going to actually send Jesus, because maybe half of them don't completely have their hearts ready to understand. But they're near perfection. But they need to understand the capacity of what it is to be the bride of Christ. So he's going to wait till they're taught. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So you're talking about from a church member perspective.
Correct.
Got it.
But you also said that the bride has to be ready.
Correct.
Right? And so it's interesting. We've heard in services more and more recently that we're becoming the bride today. It's not mm-hmm. something that's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes and bang, we're going to become the bride. Yes. We have to be practicing to be the bride and becoming the bride right now. in doing what the bride does, so that it doesn't just all of a sudden we were there and okay, now I know what to do. And the now I know what to do is happening right now. We have to do those things. Is that correct?
Correct. It is. We are in boot camp, per se. Bride boot camp. Excellent. Yes. Thank you.
But what's interesting is that, I mean, it's come out when I've served before, and I look out and I see some people getting it. Because you can see them, you know, like, wow, yeah. You know, you can see they're being inquisitive and they're thinking, and the others are, have a big smile, and others aren't even there. And it's interesting because the bride is going to be made up of those who seek Father right now.
Correct. And logistically, someone just texted me, so we're engaged to Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what's happening. And it's our responsibility to learn about him. He's learning about us. But unless we open ourselves up to him, that would have to do with their heart, Father pointed out, or their willingness to serve. If we're not willing to become like Jesus, then why would we even want to be a part of this?
Right. And I just said something that I didn't mean it the way that it came out. And I want to make sure. We have to do that right now. Well, yeah, we all have to, in real time, seek Father. But that doesn't mean that someone is off on the sidelines who isn't yet, but they're going to wake up and come. And so it's in that saying that it has to be right now, but it has to be an active practicing.
Correct. Which leads me into my next question to everybody. Is a soul perfected when it gets to eternity?
No.
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 Excellent. No, it's not. I'm talking also now. Let me flip the coin on you. Is a new apostolic, let's say that they're faithful, as far as we understand faithful, are they perfected when they get to eternity?
No.
Nope.
No.
Excellent. Because for years, the church taught that when a new apostolic brother and sister gets to eternity, they're perfected. And now all they're going to do is they're going to wait for Jesus to come and take them. And then once we get our act together, he'll collect them first, and then he'll come and collect us. But you are correct. That is not necessarily true, and I will tell you why. I know for a fact on my own personal level, because I've seen my dad since he was in eternity, from the day he entered till the day I saw him recently, he's a different person than he was when he entered, which proves to me that my dad had to work through some things. And it's none of my business what my dad had to work through. So we were always under the impression that when a soul enters a faithful new apostolic, per se, enters eternity, that they're done there. They don't have to do any more. They're now part of the realm of paradise. They're now doing work in eternity. And that's just not the case. And we also were also taught that the reason why we pray for our brothers and sisters in eternity is because they need strength to do this work. I'm bringing this to your attention because they don't just need strength to do this work. They need the same strength that you and I get from Father to overcome still. In eternity, they are handed a portion of grace when they cross over to the other side, which then allows them to enter into the realm of paradise. It also gives them the freedom to do the work that needs to happen there. But during that time, because of Father's love, he still gives them the time to perfect themselves while they're there. And I'll just make this statement. No one is perfected until Jesus comes and we're all given the bridal garment and the transfigured body. And eternity doesn't get that until he comes and collects them too. Does anybody have any questions?
That's neat. And so it states in scripture that no one can be worthy except by the grace. Mm-hmm. And the grace will be extended at that time and the difference will be made up.
Correct.
That is now more clear than it's ever been. That's really nice.
Thank you, HS.
Yes.
Well, and it makes sense because, and again, I'm going to bring up a negative to reinforce the positive. So we've been taught recently that our church is not unique, that there's been a discussion on how we need to make sure that we are not telling other Christians that we're, the New Apostolic is better, right? We've all had a problem with that because there isn't a uniqueness to what our faith is. But this re-understanding or different understanding of eternity goes hand in hand with that, right? We are not unique.
But no, I would disagree. We are unique.
We are.
Because we are actively trying to become the bride, because we've been chosen to be the bride. Now it's up to me whether I make it or not, because I have to seek and become the bride. So that is unique.
No, I was going to say, let me put this, that's why it's a negative. We've disagreed with that as a group, because that's what our understanding is. We are unique because we are daily trying to become the bride rather than just being a guest or a Christian, right? But this re-understanding of what eternity is now makes it easier to try to explain to everybody, hey, we're just like everybody else in a sense. You know what I mean? What I'm saying is we are unique, but we're not better.
We're not better than anybody else, but I'll tell you the biggest difference is most people believe that if you believe in Jesus Christ, that you're baptized, now you've been saved. Right. And now all you got to do is wait for Jesus to come and you're good to go. Where our church teaches, you got to fight every day to overcome yourself. That's the uniqueness of our church.
Right. And again, I guess what I'm trying to say is what you just said about eternity and how we're not automatically a saved soul. It makes sense to me now. Maybe I'm not explaining it right, but
no, you are.
It makes more sense now because we were taught we are so unique that we get to just, when we die, we don't have to do anything.
Exactly. Right.
And now that's not the case. So,
well, if you look at it, if you think of it this way, absolutely, the New Apostolic Church is unique because the bride will come from there. And that's the way the Lord Jesus established the work. But Father's plan is so much bigger than just that. We're part of his plan to help him to get to every other soul, because he wants every soul to live in heaven with him for all eternity. And when you think about the activity of the Holy Spirit in the rest of Christianity, he's active because those souls, Father is looking and saying, yeah, they're going to be with me. Bride is going to help me get them. And so it's not an exclusive club, but it's very unique. It's redundant. I don't like hearing that even. It's unique. Unique is unique. You can't get any better than that. But
right.
The thing is, we have that opportunity. Those who understand it, take it seriously, and become the bride truly will be the bride. And then when the bride is taken, then everyone will see things a little bit differently with wide open eyes. And during the 1,000-year kingdom of peace, they'll have an opportunity to continue to their belief, but make it even more according to Father's plan. And isn't that a better way to look at it?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. You've taken my parsected understanding and words and put it into a great congruent ending or finality. I like that. Thank you. Yes.
And I think another way that you could look at it is we are unique, but that doesn't make us exempt. We still have to fight the battles.
There you go.
We still have to do everything. So we are unique, but we're not exempt.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anybody else? Someone asked the question, how do you pray for somebody that is really evil? You would just pray for them like you would pray for anybody else. You ask Father if he can move that soul's heart, that maybe he could open their eyes a little bit. If you have any compassion for this person as to what they're doing and why you would perceive them as being that evil, then I would talk to Father about it. But I wouldn't give up on that person just because you feel they're evil. We're all evil. Sin is sin. Everybody needs prayers. Everybody needs help. I wanted to talk a little bit quickly about a lack of joy. I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose my joy in the work, and sometimes I feel that my heart isn't ignited like it should be. I'm not as passionate as I should be as a guardian. I'm not as excited about going to church. I've lost that fire. And so I would say this, you need to go back to the basics, and that starts with Father. The last couple of months, he's petitioned us to come and spend time with him. If you put him first and you go and see him, I guarantee you, you will get your joy back. Challenge all of you to go do that. Now, I wanted to bring this part up. This is that new part that I wanted to add called open up and share. Does anybody have anything they would like to open up and share with the team?
When you say open up and share, what would you like us to open up and share about? Anything?
Anything you want. I don't care if it's faith, if it's something personal, if it's a physical situation, if it's anything. This is the part of the meeting that I would like us to trust each other, to be there for each other. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you don't feel that you can bear yourself, and you would like all of us now to come together and help.
I've got anyway. A little something I kind of wanted to share for like a roundtable thing, but I guess it fits here.
Okay.
I had a business meeting that came up rather abruptly and rather quickly, which is completely unlike Whirlpool. They're sending me out to Boston for 3 days, and I'm actually going to be in Salem the week of the 28th of this month. So the week of Halloween, I will be in Salem, Massachusetts for about 48 hours. So I know there's a reason that Father's sending me there. So don't know what that is yet, but I would ask for some prayers, for some understanding and some guidance while I'm out there.
Go spend time in your dojo.
Okay. Are you telling me I need to be prepared for something?
You know, I say that and I think to myself, when was the last time I did that? You know, the thing is, when we think about who we are and what our jobs are, we are guardians. And I'm glad that I said that, because then I'm going to start doing it.
Yeah, to be honest, when the center of my mind got wiped, I never rebuilt the dojo. So
there you go. You know, you think about it, all that time that Michael spent with us, why? If we aren't ready.
Oh, and you might want to watch some Matrix movies.
Right. Maybe John Wick.
Yes.
Thank you. And then I want to ask the Horns, how's the new house?
That's the best thing I can say. And when you talked about sharing, I was just wondering, is Akos on the line? Are you there, Andrew?
Yeah, he's here.
Andrew, would you mind to share with the team the experience that you had with Dad just before you left the house for the last time?
Sure. On the closing day, Dad and I took one last walk around the house to make sure he didn't forget anything, and I didn't want to leave him there by himself because all the stuff that was there. And when we got to their bedroom. He had to go to the washroom quick. And then I just kept hearing the words, "It's finished." I think that's what it was. It is done.
Wow.
Yeah, and the interesting thing was that while we were just, Tom and I had to go a few times just to finish packing up, and we started bickering, which we usually don't do. We were really bickering, and then all of a sudden it hit me like a ton of bricks, because we had already moved. We moved before the closing date, and so already we could feel the evil. And there was one other time, I think, that Andrew and Tom went, and Andrew had sent me a text, and he kind of forewarned me or told me, I can't remember his exact words, but then Tom walked in the door, and he said that at the old house, the coyotes were howling so loud that it almost sounded like babies screaming and crying. So for us, it was really, it was an eye opener for us, because we knew what we were being exposed to, and we had felt it, but I wouldn't say we had become immune to it. But once we moved into the house here, it was so extreme that I couldn't even get over how peaceful it was, how calm things were. I couldn't even fall asleep at the beginning because it was so quiet. But we're both doing remarkably well. Fall is a difficult time for Tom, so he has a lot of pain right now. But spiritually, we're doing really great. And actually, we had everyone over for Thanksgiving. Our Canadian Thanksgiving was Monday a week ago, and we had the whole family, like all our kids, together with us. And that was the first time that Tom had prayed. It was very moving, but we just feel like we've started a new chapter.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay. Thank you for asking.
Thank you.
Super happy for you guys. We love you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I can tell you, we love all of you too. We miss you so much. And I think about you all now that I'm retired. All the time, like each one of you.
Pointing or in a good way?
Oh no, not pointing. I just know that everybody's going through something, and when I'm prompted, then I will always remember all of you and pray for you. So, boy, and now you're gonna ask me to pray, and I'm so emotional.
It's okay. I'm gonna stick one more thing in here and give you a moment to compose yourself. So,
okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I know sometimes that you and I really don't have any idea how one little prayer that we render, when we think of someone in eternity or we think of a group, when you and I render one prayer, Father said to me, do you realize that you touch millions of souls in eternity with one prayer? No prayer is wasted. Don't ever feel like you're not doing something that would accomplish anything. That is the little thing that lights up that realm. They know that they're being prayed for. There was a time too where we heard in church that, does eternity need to know they're being prayed for? Is it important that a soul knows they're being prayed for? And we were told, no, they don't have to. But Father said, yeah, they do, because when someone goes out of their way to show that they're thinking about them, doesn't that bring joy? Now they don't feel like they're forgotten. So actually, every time we pray, a little bit of light lights up that realm, and they know that somebody is praying for them. And I'm goose pimpling. I never heard that before. I didn't even know that.
I'm so glad that you said that, because lately when I've been praying, I always pray for the unborn, the children. I'm just naturally drawn to them. And I will also name off children that I know or relatives or family. But every night a different name pops into my head. And even though I don't know that person or the baby or the child, whoever it is by or soul by name, I always name. And it's usually a different name every night.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else they'd like to add?
Yeah, I've got something.
Okay.
If you would all please pray for me and Lauren. This is a good thing, by the way. We're hoping to add a new member to our family.
Another cat?
No, not another cat. We're hoping to graduate from cat parents to human parents.
Excellent.
I thought you were going to say like a trombone or something. Or French horn.
Oh, no, I've already got a couple French horns. Okay.
Good. We'll pray for happy, yes.
Oh, gosh.
Practice makes perfect. I didn't know what to say. It was not below the waist. It was something that was going to be very apropos, but no, I don't know how to say that. So we will pray for blessings. How's that?
No pun intended with the below the waist comment either.
Oh, no. No.
Here we go. Okay, we're digressing.
No.
Congrats, you two.
Thanks.
That's very good news.
Thank you, everyone. And I ask Tranquility to please close.
Kind and gracious Father, we are so thankful that we were able to come together in this evening hour as a team. Dearest Father, it's so wonderful when you can share the same thoughts and feelings and talk without judgment, and that we can also receive guidance for the future, and that in turn we can also share it with others. And we pray, dearest Father, as we have heard tonight, that we can be that lighthouse that you have spoken about, that we may be able to shine not only on this earth right now, but where we are so close to the service for the departed, that we can also shine as a lighthouse to those that I always think, Father, of those that don't even know about you, that have never even heard of you or been introduced to you, that we can be that lighthouse, that they will be drawn to your altar of grace. And dearest Father, we also pray for our brothers and sisters who have a great work ahead of them, that they know that they are supported by us through our prayers, and that none may be forgotten or forsaken, that all will know that they are loved and cared for, even if they have no one else, dearest Father, even if we don't know who they are, that unconditionally we may bring them to the altar of grace, and that we may be a strength and a support to our brothers and sisters in those various realms. Dearest Father, we also pray for our teammates here. We are so thankful for them, and we pray we know that each one of them is going through a trying or a difficult time, and where we cannot fight their battles, we can support them in prayer, in love, through our thoughts, dearest Father, because they are all so special to us. And I would also like to thank you, Father, that they have been so supportive to Tom and I for these many, many years, dearest Father. They've been so sincere and so kind, and they never gave up and they never judged us. And we, even though maybe naturally we felt alone many times, we knew that spiritually they were right with us. And that also helped us through many trying and difficult times. We also pray for the week ahead, that it may be a good one for each and every one of us. And dearest Father, that we can wake up every morning with the thought that something wonderful is going to happen. Because we know, Father, that in that you also rejoice. And we are so very thankful for all that you do for us. And we know that which you will continue to do for us. Please continue to abide with each and every one of us, dearest Father. Please look into our hearts. Grant us that which is good. And dearest Father, those things that may disappoint you, we pray that we may be able to cast aside and put along the wayside. Please continue to be with us. We pray, dearest Father, and ask all of these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Love you guys.
We love you too.
Love you.
Love you guys.
All righty.
Good night.
Bye. Bye. Bye.